Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. It is written, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no little trade unto the craftsmen. It is written, sirs, ye know that by this trade we have our wealth, and ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying there are no gods that are made by hands. It is written, and when they heard this, they were filled with wrath and cried, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians.
God is just a prayer away.
And when the town clerk had quieted the multitude, he saith, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there who knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be gainsaid, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. But if ye seek anything about other matters, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. And they all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Amid the storms and doubts of unbelief we fear, stands a book eternal that the world holds dear. Through the restless ages it remains the same. 'Tis the book of God, and the Bible is its name. 'Tis the book that tells us of the Father's love, when he sent his Son to us from heaven above, who by richest promise creates hope within. For 'tis through his blood we are saved from every sin. 'Tis the book that tells us of eternal life after faithful service in a world of strife, and this glorious triumph over death's dark fears is the world's best hope in an age of countless tears. The old book and the old faith are the rock on which I stand. The old book and the old faith are the hope of every land.
Oh, God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Acts chapter 19. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. About that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. Five times in the book of Acts, Christ, his word, and his church are referred to as the way. To call it the way is the same as saying the way of the Lord is the only way to heaven. To say the only way is the same as saying there is no other way to heaven. To say the way is the same as saying any other way is the wrong way to attempt to go to heaven. To say the way is the same as saying there is but one way to heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. The way is also like a road. When you travel on any road, it will lead you somewhere. But when you travel on the road, eventually it will lead you to heaven. As you get closer to the end of the journey, the Christian can very well say in the words of the song, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. But also there arose no small stir concerning the way. Because the way of the Lord is the only way, it will always cause a stir. In this case, the stir was over Paul's preaching that there was only one God. Demetrius, the silversmith, made silver shrines of Diana. It was a profitable business until Paul said, there are no gods that are made with hands, and sales were dropping fast. So Demetrius called a meeting of all people occupied in the business and informed them of this Paul, who is telling people there are no gods that are made with hands. He said, if something is not done, the great Diana herself shall be disposed of her magnificence. And when they heard this, they were filled with wrath and rushed with one accord into the theater, shouting, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. That theater could hold as many as 25,000 people, and it is still there unto this day. The theater was filled with an angry mob, and some shouted one thing and some another. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. This is a perfect description of many a church service today. Some cry one thing, and some another. One denomination cries, this is the way. Another cries, no, this is the way. Many churches are filled with people who know not wherefore they are come together. They do not understand that every Sunday is the day that honors the resurrection of Christ, just as much as that one Sunday the world calls Easter. They know not wherefore they are come together. Paul was advised not to enter into the theater lest he be torn limb from limb. At one point, for 2 hours, they shouted over and over again and again, Great is Diana! Great is Diana! Great is Diana of the Ephesians! At last the town clerk, or the mayor, quieted the multitude and broke up the riot and sent them away. Among the things he told them, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there among you who knoweth not that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Diana, and of the image which came down to us from Jupiter? A meteor evidently had fallen from the sky that had the appearance of the torso of a many-breasted female, and they worshipped it as a goddess sent from heaven. The town clerk had the right idea about their god. He said, it came down from Jupiter. Personally, I would not want a religion that did not come down from heaven. The only mistake the town clerk or the mayor made was the fact that he had the wrong god. He was speaking about Jupiter, the father of the gods of the ancient world. We have a religion in Christ that came down to us from our Father who art in heaven. Sometimes, when the wind is blowing just right, I can put my ear to the ground, and I think I can almost hear that cry from that far-off day. Great is Diana! Great is Diana! Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a religion that came down to us from heaven. Jesus is the God who has come down to us from heaven. In the book of Acts chapter 14, the people of the city of Lystra were sure that God had come down out of heaven in the persons of Paul and Barnabas. Paul had commanded a crippled man from his mother's womb to stand up and walk. He was healed and leaped up and walked, and when the people saw what happened, they were sure that the gods had come down to them in the likeness of men. They wanted to offer sacrifices unto these two gods in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter, the father of the gods, and Paul Mercury, the messenger of the gods. Now, before I tell you what Paul said, I must first tell you what one evangelist said on television. As he entered into an auditorium filled with people and walked down the aisle, someone asked him, "Are you Jesus?" The evangelist answered, "I am not saying I am, and I'm not saying I'm not." Now listen to what Paul and Barnabas said. They rent their garments and said, "Why do ye these things? We are also men in like passions with you, and bring you good tidings that you should turn from these vain things unto the living God, who made the heavens and the earth." Paul and Barnabas knew that a God had come down out of heaven, and they also knew that they were not that God. There was a God who came down out of heaven in the likeness of men, so that we once again might become men in the likeness of God. Now let the Apostle John, in the 6th chapter of his Gospel, tell us what happened. Some of the people said in that day, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then doth he now say, 'I am come down out of heaven'?" We have a Savior that came down out of heaven. But that is not all. Listen to what Jesus told the apostles in his farewell address in John 16. Jesus said, "I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father." We not only have a God who came down out of heaven, but a God that after he came down out of heaven, went back up into heaven. But that's not all either. This Jesus who came down out of heaven and went back into heaven told the apostles, "If I go, I come again." Now think of that. We have a God who came down out of heaven and then went back into heaven. And then that same God said he is going to come back again out of heaven. But again, that is not all either. When this God who came down out of heaven and went back into heaven comes again out of heaven, he will take us up into heaven, and we shall ever be with the Lord. This is the very essence of our faith. Listen to that again. We have a God who came down out of heaven, then went back up into heaven, a God who will come again out of heaven and then take us back into heaven. And when I think of that, I have to say, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. However, that is not the only facet of our religion that came down out of heaven. We not only have a Savior who came down out of heaven, we also have a church that came down out of heaven. Jesus remained on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. Then he who came down went back up after telling the apostles to wait for the power from on high. After 10 days, the power of God was unleashed from heaven. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2, "Now when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind. There appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People were there from at least 15 countries, and they all heard the gospel in their own language. The mighty wind that came down that day did not come from the east, west, north, or south. The Holy Spirit that filled them that day came straight down from heaven. That was the day when the church was started. If anyone belongs to the church that was started on that day, that person is a part of the church that came down from heaven. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul." On that day, the apostles told how Jesus had died on the cross, and raised up from the dead, and ascended to heaven. Those who believed what they heard asked what they must do. Peter told those believers that were there to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 that day responded, and the Lord added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. They became members of the church that came down out of heaven. Many years ago, when this unsophisticated greenhorn left home to go further away from home than I'd ever been before in my life, to Bible college, the preacher gave me some much-needed advice. One thing he told me was that I should not expect to find all the students of the Bible college sprouting wings and wearing halos. He said some of them ought to be in the penitentiary. He also told me, when the occasion arose that I had to fill out some forms, that I should give my place of birth and fill that in. When they ask where you live now, he said, put that in. Then there will be a blank that says male or female. Looking back on it, I thought it was curious he did not say that I should write down, "Don't ask, don't tell." Then he said, when they ask you what church you belong to, tell them, Church of Christ. Then if they ask, where are your headquarters, tell them your headquarters are in heaven. I thought to myself, I didn't tell him that, but I thought to myself, I can't tell people anything like that. They will think I'm an oddball if I look up in the sky and say, my headquarters is up yonder. After all, nobody else would make such a dumb statement as that. Well, if you ask most people where is the headquarters of their church, they may say, my headquarters is in Rome, Indianapolis, Cleveland, or some other city. That was a long time ago. But when I think of it, his advice was the best. If someone asks me today, where is your headquarters of your church? I have to tell them, my headquarters is up yonder in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read, God having of old time spoken unto the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, hath in the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that is the headquarters of the church that came down out of heaven. And when I think of the fact that we have a church that came down from heaven, I have to say, heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. However, we only have a Savior and a church that came down out of heaven. We also have a Bible that came down to us out of heaven. The world still believes they can create a God of their own. Demetrius made his own gods. He made silver shrines of Diana. These little gods were like what we used to call St. Christopher images that some people put on the dashboard of their cars for safety. The St. Christopher image was supposed to give safety while driving. Then one day they figured out that St. Christopher never did really exist, so he went out of style. Demetrius made little St. Dianifers, perhaps to put on the dashboard of their chariots. It was thought to work better than seat belts or an airbag. People today still make their own gods. They do not make gods with their hands. They make little gods in their minds. If you tell them what God's word says and they don't like it, they say, "Well, my God wouldn't do that." They figure up what God would do and what God would not do and then fall down and worship that God. In reality, they worship themselves. The Latin phrase is appropriate. Vox populi, vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. That's not the way it is. The voice of God is the voice of God, and sometimes the voice of the people may be the voice of the devil. Paul tells us where the Bible came from when he said in Galatians, "I make known unto you, brethren, as touching the gospel as was preached by me, that it is not after men, for neither was I taught it, for it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ." It was Peter who said, "Holy men spake from of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Bible is a book that came down to us from heaven, and it is the only book that came down from heaven. Paul warns us in Galatians about the contents of other books that claim to be the Word of God when he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema, accursed." In 1 Corinthians 11, in speaking of the Lord's Supper, Paul gives us the rule of where he received everything he preached. He said, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." This was just one item that was revealed to Paul from heaven by the Lord Jesus. We can be sure when we read the Bible, we are reading a book that came down to us from heaven. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The Bible is a complete revelation of the will of God. Perhaps this incident in my life when I was about 16 years old will help you see this truth. I was standing on the end of a pier with another young fellow about my same age at the mouth of the James River in Newport News, Virginia. At that point, the river merges into Hampton Roads and from thence to the Atlantic Ocean. I took a whiskey bottle and drained it and wrote a note and put in the bottle and sealed it up and then threw it as far as I could into the water, hoping it would drift out with the tide into the ocean where someone might find it. The note in the bottle said, "I am Eddie Bousman, and I am marooned on a desert island with 10 beautiful women. Please send help at once." Later on, I realized my mistake in that note. I forgot to give instruction as to where the island was located. My plea for help was not a complete message. Now let me tell you what Paul said about that. He said in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." According to Paul, the message he preached came from heaven, and it was a complete message. God did not send his message to us in a bottle. He sent it to inspired men of whom Jesus said, "When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." Jesus did not trust the memory of the apostles. The Holy Spirit prodded their memory so that when we read the Bible, we are reading the message that Jesus wants us to hear. That message comes to us from heaven. Everything you need to know about salvation is found in the Word of God. Nothing is left out. There may be things you would like to know that are not found in the Bible, but God has seen to it that you have everything He wants you to know. Paul said he not only received the message from heaven, he also delivered it. We all have received the same heaven-sent message. But the breakdown comes when the message we receive is not delivered. Because of popularity and conformity, parts of the message is either not delivered today or toned down to the point where those whose ears are dull of hearing just don't get it. The cry of the ancient Ephesians is still resounding through the religious world, if you listen for it. Great is Diana. Great is Diana. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.